We can validate your opinion if you took the time to write into the show. 'Cause it's a great debate. Maybe we'll learn something new, 'cause the input comes directly from you for this show. 'Cause it's a great debate. If you don't think our picks are great, a Twitter poll decides its fate. Don't hate us. It's a great debate.
Yeah, I think I could really go pro with this.
Hello and welcome to A Storm of Spoilers off-season tour. My name is Dave Gonzalez, and if I were to reboot a show from the 80s or 90s, I would reboot the animated series Bucky O'Hare and the Toad Wars. You should Google it, because 13 episodes was not enough.
I'm Joanna Robinson, and if I were to reboot a show from the 80s or 90s, it would be a project that I've already been talking about on Twitter, and a lot of people are back. Many people are saying that this is a great idea.
Many people say this is a tremendous idea.
To reboot the Highlander TV series, not the movies, but the TV series starring Adrian Paul about Duncan MacLeod of the Clan MacLeod, and I would cast... You didn't ask me this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I would cast Ben Barnes as the titular Highlander.
Excellent. And I'm Neil Miller. And if I were to remake a TV show from the 80s or 90s, it would be Third Rock from the Sun. And it would just be focused, like Joseph Gordon-Levitt would be in it, obviously. And it would just be focused on his life years later. It would probably be bad.
Could it be like a gritty, like indie prestige?
No,
show?
I got yeah,
like Mysterious Skin or Brick, like that.
Produced
era.
By Pamela Adlon.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes.
So no, I got halfway through talking about that and forgot everything about Third Rock from the Sun. So except that they were aliens.
That's the important part.
Did either of you watch the Highlander TV series?
I don't think so.
Not intentionally.
It was tremendously important to me growing up. I really, really loved it. It was like a Canadian-French production, so the production values are like super bad. But it's a time travel show, obviously, because Highlander has lived forever, so they flash back to whenever in history. And it's great. Will it stand up to anyone listening wanting to watch it now? No, it will not. But in the 90s... I was a big, big fan. So, yeah, shout out to all my Highlander the TV series friends.
Yeah, there can only be one.
Well, and it's there can only Canadian be one, war. Except it had a spinoff for one of the best characters, Amanda, who was like the Raven, I think is what the spinoff was called. The spinoff.
There was a character on Highlander called Amanda?
Yeah, she was a cat. Wow. She was a cat burglar, immortal. She was amazing. Her spinoff sucked, but her character was amazing. So, yeah, Highlander, the TV series. Good.
All right.
Time.
We're talking about television.
That's my list.
We're talking about television in the theoretical sense, because this week we will be debating 2018 media, beginning with the best television show of 2018 so far. And then in segment two, we will be debating the best movie of 2018 so far. If this is your first great debate, each one of us will present one, or I have a weird feeling, maybe more than one option. to you, the listener, including some options from the listeners at the end. And when we all come to convene on Twitter at the end of the episode, we will have some polls up to decide definitively the best show of 2018 so far and the best movie of 2018 so far. We'll talk about that next week's podcast. Just give people a shout out, the winners. We like winners here at Star Wars Spoilers.
And losers sometimes.
And
yeah,
losers sometimes.
You too, Neil. Yeah.
Oh. We're heating up for a great debate. And of course,
somehow I I deserve this.
No, that's not calling you a loser in general. That's just pointing out that, like, you don't tend to win the great debates, right? You won
that's
one.
True. Oh, that's true.
That's what I meant.
Oh, right.
Not loser in a broad sense. Loser in this very specific.
But I did win one at Con of Thrones.
You did, buddy.
I won the last one. It was the best one. So, you know, all that matters is that you win one. That's what I've been telling myself since LeBron James signed with the Lakers.
And then for our Patreon bonus segment this week, we'll be talking about the future of HBO, because as some of you might have noticed, AT&T bought Time Warner, and they got plans, and we talk about HBO a lot.
I think we're also going to talk about some Game of Thrones potential spinoff.
Yeah, I was going to say we're going to sneak in some premium Game of Thrones content that, you know, hey, listen, I'm sorry. Sometimes we put stuff in the Patreon, and it's fun in there.
It's fun in there. Great last words. Joanna, do we have any reviews this week?
We sure do. No cookie recipes, though. Okay, I just want to say this. Neil and Dave gave me shit for the cookie segment last week. I've heard from a lot of people that they enjoyed the cookie segment, and I even know that a couple listeners made the cookie recipe. I saw some cookie photos. They were amazing. So please continue to put weird stuff in your reviews. They're hilarious. I will continue to read them. Never mind Dave and Neil's confusion, because cookie recipes for everyone.
Also, I think we should start a campaign to get Joanna to write a or do a baking segment on the show. We'll do a baking show.
I think you're overestimating.
Wasn't that what somebody suggested?
Well, I think you're overestimating how many recipes I know off the top of my head. It's pretty much just the chocolate chip cookie recipe.
It's just the one. I mean, Dave's, it's a good one to have in a pinch.
Dave's the actual baker. I have a waffle recipe also off the top of my head. Waffles and chocolate chip cookies. But Dave is the actual baker on this podcast to subvert gender norms here. So, yeah.
Yeah. Subverting jet. That's why I do it.
All right. I'm gonna read some reviews now. All right. This one comes from Panda KS 1991. 5 stars. Don't fall down. Fall for a storm of spoilers instead. I've been tuning into A Storm of Spoilers for a couple years now and have truly grown to love both this podcast and people in it. I am a casual Game of Thrones fan. That is, I enjoy the show, haven't read the books yet. And hearing Joanna, Dave, and Neil go in depth helps me understand things I didn't get while watching and discover all sorts of new things I never would have picked up on otherwise. But while I came for the Game of Thrones chat, I stayed for the off-season tour that covers a myriad of pop culture stuff. Because these hosts are such a delight, the things they talk about that I have no real interest in, Tremors, are just as engaging as the stuff.
Wait, did they write that in the review?
They wrote cough, tremors, cough.
Oh, no.
Are just as engaging as the stuff they do discuss that I love. Each of the hosts brings their own arsenal of pop culture knowledge and delivers that knowledge in spades. Their thoughts, opinions, and theories are carefully crafted, knowledgeable, and respectable. I enjoy listening to them go back and forth because it's so abundantly clear that these hosts truly care about one another and the respect they have for each other is palpable, except for when I call Neil a loser. That's not to say that they all agree on everything all the time, but even when they disagree, they acknowledge that the points they disagree with still make sense on some level. We're just the best in space. Anyway, as such, this podcast is a balm in a time and culture so full of hard division and hateful rhetoric. In short, if you enjoy in-depth Game of Thrones discussion and pop culture in general, but also like to listen to people that feel like old friends, this is the podcast for you. Please keep up the great work. It's truly appreciated. Hashtag still upright 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah, not fallen.
Yeah, that was a long one. So we'll just stick it, keep it at one review this week, but thank you so much. And like I said, keep your reviews coming, even if they are just cookie recipes.
Cookie recipes. Now we're prepared. Last week it was like you threw like a snap pop in our face and we were like, whoa, what was that? You made cookies better just like with a review. And now Neil and I are expecting that at that level of review.
Oh, so this
we're
is
gonna
like,
be ready for it.
This is like the first time when I was like, we should do an episode just about Tremors. And you're like, Joanna, you're crazy. And now we're a Tremors podcast.
Yes, those are the only two times I've ever gaslighted you, ever. Neil?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure I was in favor of all those ideas.
Shh, Neil.
I'll have to check the tape.
And now we have Neil's segment, Storm Chasing. Neil?
Storm chasing.
I mean, I cut those in. That's happening.
I know, but I thought I'd just do it organically.
No, but please also put the sound effect in. So it's just Neil making right. like laser cat noises over an actual storm sound effect. Pew, pew, pew! Storm
Anyway, this is the segment where we talk about which one pop culture storm are you chasing this week? One movie, book, show, story, podcast, etc., etc., etc. And as always, I'll go first. That's the thing that it's a new rule that I just made up. I wanted to give a quick take on Ant-Man and the Wasp, which I did not see for the podcast, but did diligently see for my own purposes later. So I liked it.
Yeah.
It's very charming. Evangeline Lilly, still the love of my life ever since Lost. And I agree. I don't remember where this was. I don't know if this is, there's a lot of like different places where I interact with you guys, but I'm pretty sure at some point Joanna said that she would love, maybe it was you, maybe it wasn't.
It was Dave. The Wasps.
Was it?
The Wasps?
No, not the Wasps. The idea of having Marvel one-shots with Michael Peña explaining all the other movies.
Oh.
Super into that idea.
I don't think, maybe that was maybe Dave. I don't think I went that far. Definitely want,
What was yours?
Well, I was just saying I definitely want more Marvel one-shots. Oh, actually, this might be a completely different conversation I was having on a different podcast where I said I wanted Star Wars one-shots, which I do.
See, there's, We've spread our interactions around too much at this point. I don't know where anything comes from.
Yes, the transcendence has begun.
I do love the idea of I mean, because Marvel basically just stole that from Pixar, which was just like, let's make short films with some of our people that we want to like develop. And I love the idea of doing short Star Wars short films. They've already started with the animated ones.
Yeah, Forces of Destiny has been great.
I was just thinking, like, I remember now, I was talking with Cam Collins of Vanity Fair over on Little Gold Men about sort of this idea of wanting Lucasfilm to feel more comfortable experimenting with tone and style, because obviously they have some anxiety around that. Like, they keep, like, sort of making gestures in that direction and then sort of steering the course back towards the known brand. And so, like, wanting them to get, like, real experimental with it, and maybe they're too afraid to do that with a feature-length film, but maybe they would do it with, like, a one-shot, and that could be really fun. So,
that's... Yeah, like, they could let somebody do a short film remake of The Last Jedi.
Yeah, that's a great idea, yeah.
Wait, how does that happen? He just accepts the lightsaber and then kills everybody. Yeah.
Well, I think that under those circumstances, there's not a whole lot of story there anyway. So, short film sounds great.
Yeah. Moon falls on Chewbacca.
No conflict whatsoever.
What do you want me to do? Fix everything? Yes. Oh.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Never thought about it that way.
All right, let's go. Cool.
Sweet. I will go next. I have been, as is my wont, listening to some true crime podcasts on airplanes. The newest one that I picked up is Felonious Florida from the Florida Sun Sentinel. It is a podcast that is pretty well produced. If there's anything, I think there's too many pauses, but that does, really differentiate between what's reporting and what's, I think, firsthand accounts, which I think other shows blend in through production, but, you know, it's fine. Felonious Florida is a way to draw attention to unsolved crimes in Florida that are actually more compelling because of how shocking they are, either in how they were prosecuted or how they haven't found a suspect yet. In the case of the two cases the podcast has so far covered, it's the type of true crime that, because of its nature, has to be more victim focused. So it's inherently more interesting to me. But it's also interesting that it seems like they're trying to just like gin up public interest in paying attention to local crimes within Florida. And I'm like, that's kind of ingenious. This should be like a podcast service that's in every state. Like, if there's something like a big appeal coming up, you know, for somebody's, you know, multiple trials that the taxpayers are paying money for, or if there's maybe a serial killer on the loose at Boca Raton, wouldn't you guys want to know that if your paper hasn't been picking it up? So it's kind of, it's been interesting. There's 6 episodes that cover 2 different crimes. They're going to be back this fall with the second season. They're covering 2 more different crimes, but no solutions. So don't go looking for a mystery to solve. Go looking for Florida color.
All right.
Hi. My section is off-brand. Dave's is hardcore on-brand. Mine is off-brand in that I've been playing a mobile game, and I never play mobile games. But I was playing a mobile game because someone on Twitter said that there was a host in the new Westworld mobile game. It's not that new. It's been out for a little while. But the Westworld mobile game, there's a host named Joanna, and I was trying to Google it to find out if that was true, and I had no luck. But just now, digging through the Westworld game Reddit Wikipedia thing, I found it. So I'm like, oh, it is it is true. I didn't need to play this game at all. But I was like trying to play it until I found this host. But there is indeed a host named Joanna. And is it based off of me? I don't know. It looks nothing like me. But the description is, more comfortable in the open fields than she is indoors, Joanna's a hard one to keep track of. So yeah, I don't go outside, so it's definitely not about me, but maybe hard one to keep track of. Anyway, point being, there's no other like host with like a name from someone who covers Westworld that I recognize, so this probably is just a coincidence. But anyway, I've been playing the game. It's quite addictive. I feel like It's a free game, but there's in-app purchases. And I was like, only dummies do in-app purchases.
And then
I played for a week, and I did at one point spend like $20 on gems. And I was like, no, it got me. So I have like kind of stopped playing because I'm like, I can't resist. Like, they just make it really hard unless you buy the things. So they got me once.
I can't invest that much regular time and defer bleeps and bloops that make me feel better.
Yeah, so I've stepped away from the bleeps and bloops, but the last thing I will say about that is like, one of the fun things is like you get these like basic bitch hosts, but then there's like a few advanced hosts that they give you at the top. Like, you have to work really hard to get like a Dolores or a Maeve or whatever. Like, that's advanced. A Kichita, you can buy them if you want, but like, that's really hard to get them. But they do give you like Teddy and Lawrence pretty early on. And Teddy and Lawrence are like advanced hosts. And that means they are successful in their interactions, which means if you want to satisfy the guests, which is what you're supposed to do in the game, is like you as a host are supposed to satisfy the guests. One of the things they want is boning.
This game feels creepy.
There's also like a robot rebellion sort of building up in the game. But like, I'm still at the beginning, and like, you're supposed to satisfy the guests, and it could be like fighting them, or, you know, doing like a con game with them, or like whatever it is, going on an adventure with them, or it could be like having sex with them, because that's something that happens in Westworld. They don't put it that way. It's like a little heart emoji thing, but it's like, that's what it is. And Lawrence and Teddy are like real good at it. And in order to,
they're real good at the sex one.
Yeah. And so in order to like score points, you have to like you want successful interactions. You don't want to send like someone who's bad at the sexing to like go interact with the guests. So I just kept sending Lawrence and Teddy because they were really good. And basically just like Lawrence and Teddy were just like boning full time in the Mariposa, like racking up coin for me. So yeah, I don't, is this what it's like to play Grand Theft Auto? I don't know. This feels all great.
Joanna gets her first taste of free to play pimping, and then it's off to the races.
I'm feeling very seen right now. He says, looking at the Game of Thrones free-to-play game that he's been playing for like 4 years.
But is also like really far along in the story and secretly like feels great about it.
I'm extremely far along.
Yeah. I feel that way about a couple of games. We don't need to talk about it though. We should actually move on.
It's a good one though.
All right, it is time for our first of 2 2018 Media Great Debates. Best of blank 2018 so far. This is Best of TV. I'm going to kick it off because I feel like I've missed a lot of the really good television. I acknowledge that things like The Americans is good, but poor Dave didn't keep up with the Americans for the past couple of seasons and felt like, why jump in for the last season not knowing things in context? Why not wait to do it when you could appreciate it? So that, you know, went by the wayside. And yeah, there was some Atlanta that I really enjoyed, but I didn't actually watch all the episodes of the season, it turns out. I thought I had, but I missed like two or three in the middle. I don't know how. I'm just absolutely crazy. But one thing that I haven't missed, because I've been religiously following its bonkers release schedule, is the reboot of DuckTales on Disney XD.
Woo!
Yeah, exactly. It premiered last August 2017. It's almost been a year since it premiered, but it aired 9 episodes in 2017 and then didn't come back until May 4th of this year, and is now up through episode 18. So it is already basically done like its back half of its season, and there's 3 more episodes left of the ones that we knew were actually produced. And everything this year has been amazing. I might have talked about DuckTales before on something else that you've listened to, or maybe here on this podcast, but it's a reboot that is also very conscious of the original. It's styled like the old Scrooge McDuck comic books, sometimes directly referencing portraits and things from that time period, including having like a color tone half point style to its shading, which makes it all look kind of cool. And the great thing is they've been working in this back half of the season references to other Disney afternoon properties. So Darkwing Duck has made like a sort of cameo. The most recent episode hinged upon a special juice that turned out to be the juice that allows the gummy bears to bounce
here and there.
Exactly.
And
they reference that.
High adventure that's beyond.
Exactly. Yes.
Wow.
quoting from this most recent DuckTales, as that's how they've embedded sort of the references. But then it was also, they're looking for this juice, but they go to this island and it's sort of an Avengers meets the Prisoner play with a flashback structure with Scrooge McDuck and Mrs. Beakley, who used to be a spy named Agent 22, and they're paired up and like sort of dressed like classic Avengers / James Bond Moneypenny, and they end up at this island where they're like this obviously the stranger or the prisoner, like numbered people and floating orbs are around. It's really interesting to see a television series like pull from all these things, but then also create characters that stand on their own. Specifically, last week, the Day of the Only Child separated Huey, Dewey, and Louie into 3 little sub-stories that all collided at the end, but was able to pretty much define what they've been hinting at in terms of their individual personalities in this series, which has definitely put it above the original series in the sense that these 3 aren't interchangeable. And yeah, I don't know. DuckTales, it's really great. I think it's great for the whole family and for all ages, which might be the one leg up I have in this debate, but I'm taking it. Yeah. Neo.
I watched some DuckTales.
Do it.
I have watched some DuckTales. Here's what I can tell you. Here's what I can tell you about Huey, Dewey, and Louie. One of them is Jean Ralphio. One of them is Bobby Moynihan. And then there's the third one.
Yes. That is true.
Who's the third one again?
There's some other guy.
Danny Pudi.
Yeah, Danny Pudi, right.
Oh.
So, like, Abed. I'll be listening, and I'm like, is it Abed? Is it John Ralphio? Like, I'm always trying to, like, figure out which voice I'm listening to. I can always tell Bob.
Bobby Moynihan's the annoying one. He's, like, super self-centered. Ben Schwartz is super enthusiastic about things. He's still very John Ralphio, so that's easy. That's Dewey. Dewey's kind of a John Ralphio parallel. And then Danny Pudi's Huey also occasionally gets super specific about his nerdisms. So that's how I always kind of connect that to Abed. But yeah, it's good. It's a good show. It's a good cartoon show.
Awesome. Yeah.
You should.
Should I go next? Excellent. I've chosen a television show that we covered in depth on this podcast. So I'm not going to take up too much of your time here with this pitch. It's Lost in Space, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
First of all, it's fun.
Go through
it's very well acted.
The debate.
I'm just trying to bring what I learned at Con of Thrones back into this. I need someone to propose
in the
middle of this. Maybe I'll... Anyway, Lost in Space, very fun, very well acted. Molly Parker is awesome. Parker Posey is great. And yeah, I like the cast of kids. It also, to me, is really one of those sort of a show that we don't see a ton of anymore. At least I don't watch a ton of anymore. Maybe they do exist, but they kind of exist in that space between being, you know, too young adult and being too adult. So there's this, like, I call it like the Spielberg zone, where it's like kids will like it and it's fun, but it's also got some mature themes. And now that I'm saying this out loud, I realize that there's probably a lot of shows that are like this. But I like this one, Lost in Space, because it also includes wonderful production design, very top notch, very like Christopher Nolan-y at times. Great attention to detail, very bold vision for a remake. And yeah, I like Lost in Space. I don't know if it's going to finish the year as the best show, but we'll see. There's other shows
that's
gotta watch.
Not if I were told before the show that you were going to bring a Netflix show to the table, I'm not sure I would have pegged you to bring Lost in Space. This is kind of surprising.
Really? Wait, which other good Netflix show came out?
I hear that Dear White People season 2 was
Dear
amazing.
White People?
Oh, I haven't watched that one yet.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt was good, but only six episodes, which kind of sucked.
Yeah.
I was actually, you're not wrong. I was going to cheat and say Ali Wong's stand-up special, Hard Knock Wife, because that is TV, but it's a stand-up special.
I mean, that'd be good too.
I don't want to break the rules too much.
I'm just surprised. You brought a Netflix show to a best TV show fight.
Yeah.
If this was the
the most anticipated show that we're going to watch in the back half of the year, then it might be Dear White People, because I do have that one on my list.
That's super good. All right.
Yeah. My turn?
Yes.
Am I allowed to bring a BBC America show to a gunfight? My pick is Killing Eve. Which I don't know if I've talked about it too much on this podcast, but it was a show that I got really hyped about out of TCA earlier this year. It's by Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who created and wrote and starred in Fleabag. She also created and wrote the show called Crashing, which you can watch on Netflix. She's also a robot in Solo, the best part of Solo as far as I'm concerned. I think she's an amazing human. And she made this spy show based on a novella. And I read the novella. It's like, I think it's Codename V or Codename Villeneuve. The novel's fine. The show's amazing. And it's got Jodie Comer plays this assassin, sociopath assassin Villeneuve. Sandra Oh plays this agent, Eve Pilastri, who's sort of trying to track her down. And it's got Fiona Shaw, who is an amazing British character actress in a supporting role. And it's just a really incredible, smart take on, like, serial killer, agent tracking them, the weird attraction connection between the two. It's stylish, it's smart. Phoebe Waller-Bridge's dialogue is always so crackling and compelling. Sandra Oh, I already knew I loved because of Grey's Anatomy and other things, but like Jodie Comer, who I also know from this show Mad Fat Diary, who she's quite good in, is incredible in this. She's so good. And so don't sleep on the show. Everyone who has watched it on my recommendation has loved it. So I really recommend you watch Killing Eve. I think you can watch it on the BBC America app right now. And if you don't want to do that, I believe it's going to be out on Hulu. I think it's next month, which I suspect is when a lot of people are going to catch it. So and then we'll all together be on board for Killing Eve season 2. Dave already dinged me for the fact that I have a few other shows written down here.
One of which you've seen.
You're going to read them anyway.
How many episodes of Sharp Objects have you actually seen?
Two. Yeah, right.
I didn't know that there were layers to this argument.
But Killing Eve, like, kind of is my vote, but my real vote is I know a bunch of listeners wrote in about it, so I'm going to let them have it. So that's why I went with Killing Eve. But I just wanted to do honorable mention to Sharp Objects, which I've seen two episodes of. I'm doing a podcast about, still watching. We did our Storm of Spoilers book club was Sharp Objects. Like, I'm really into the first couple episodes. I've heard from people who have seen all seven of the episodes that were released to press that it's amazing. So I'm really excited for everyone to get on board with that. The Assassination of Gianni Versace, I also did a podcast about that. And I think, like, whenever I just do a podcast about a show, I get, like, so into it that I can't help but, like...
Well, the nice thing is you catch all the levels of everything when you have to dedicate that much time to it.
Yeah, so, like, I just don't want to skate by Assassination of Gianni Versace because I think a lot of people skipped it, and I think that was a mistake because I think it has really interesting and really, like, amazing things to say. And I know a lot of people have binged it, have really enjoyed it. And I see, like, this is a debate, but it's also kind of like a recommendation episode, right? So, like, that's kind of why I have these extra things on here. And then the last cheater that I will slide in here is The Good Fight, which I know a lot of people are not watching because it's on CBS All Access, and I'm convinced that... If this sequel to The Good Wife were on CBS proper, it would be an enormous hit. But as it is, it's kind of hidden on CBS All Access. It's a really incredible show, especially for like these political times. So I really recommend those extras. But my main vote, my real vote, is Killing Eve. So,
all right. So we got.
How do you feel? How do you feel about all that cheating? I just.
I want to know.
I'm for it. Definitely for it.
What are listener toss-up nominations, and how are we going to narrow this down to four spots?
Right. Okay. Well, this is something that I think we can debate between the three of us. But I just wanted, we should recommend, right, these options from our listeners. I'm going to read just like a couple emails.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So the list I rounded up from what people were mentioning was The Magicians, Atlanta, of which, you know, Dave and I only watched a few episodes, but the Teddy Perkins episode,
oh my
episode
God.
Number six, is like an incredible like 40 minutes of television that you can basically watch in a bottle if you want to. So The Americans, which had its final season, Cobra Kai, which is over on YouTube, that like a lot of, well, I'll probably read an email about that. One of our Patreon subscribers, Liz, recommended the World Cup, which I think is a really fun. I do love.
Oh, that's a good one.
I do love when the World Cup's on. Dear White People, which you are.
The only thing I have against the World Cup is that it's too early.
I love that about it, like, because you're up in like I don't know.
That's because you're a morning person.
but it's kind of fun when it's like it's just the wrong time of day to be watching sports and you're watching sports.
Yeah,
it's kind of fun.
At a bar, watching sports.
And that is cool.
Dear White People, which we already mentioned, and The Good Place, which we talked about on our Michael Schur cast that we did. So I'm going to just read a few emails. This first one comes from Josh Brown, and he says, take yourself back to January of 2018, if you can remember that far back. That is when the third season of The Magicians premiered, and when a show that had really found its footing the previous year became something even more grand, ambitious, and amazing. A world without magic really forces the characters to become who they were meant to be, and frequent trips to alternate universes or timelines averted weren't used to throw away continuity, but to string together stronger relationships and bring our ensemble closer than they've ever been. Putting what was left of the original books in a blender, along with incredibly unique voice the show built for itself, led to stories hilarious, heartfelt, and truly unexpected. And the Sci-Fi Channel letting them say fuck didn't hurt either. So that's a vote for The Magicians. It's one of a couple emails we got about The Magicians. I love The Magicians. I think you have heard me talk about it before, but that's what would have my real vote if I didn't want to leave it up to the listeners. And then I'm gonna read one more about Cobra Kai, actually, because I really have heard like amazing things about Cobra Kai. This one,
yeah, me too. Yeah. Like a lot of things.
Yeah. This one comes from Brian Rapp, and he says, my pick for best show 2018 so far is in the style of the protagonist of the movie franchise. It continues an outsider and an underdog. Its stars aren't particularly famous and are primarily known for movies they made in the 1980s. It's not on HBO, AMC, FX, or one of the other networks people have come to expect amazing TV from, or even on one of the major streaming services like Netflix or Hulu, but rather YouTube Red. The best show of 2018 so far was as surprising as a crane kick to the face. It's Cobra Kai. And then he just sort of like gives the premise of Cobra Kai, which is that like it's many decades later, and Ralph Macchio and Billy Zabka are now playing the characters as middle-aged men, and just sort of like what this means into like in their future and how karate interacts with the next generation, stuff like that. He says, he concludes by saying Cobra Kai could have been an easy nostalgic cash-in like Fuller House, but instead it develops into these characters' past and how these echo through their lives today. It carefully tells a story that makes neither man fully a hero or fully a villain, allowing each to grow over the course of the season. And it also introduces a whole new generation of kids, many of them misfits, looking for a place to belong or someone to support them. He says, Cobra Kai will face stiff competition from shows like The Americans in Atlanta, but the show teaches us anything is that it's important to try your best, even when the odds are against you. I've heard it compared to, like, Friday Night Lights. That's what I've heard Cobra Kai
really?
Compared to. So, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't have a huge fondness for the original Karate Kid. I didn't watch it as a kid. I watched it for the first time as a grown-up. So, like, I was not, like, on board with this, even though I really love Billy Zabka as, like, a person generally. as a pop culture figure, but I have just heard such amazing things about Cobra Kai, so I can't give it a personal vote, but I just wanted to put it in the mix there. So
all right, nice. How do we want to do this then? I would be willing to admit that DuckTales is a great show, but also maybe I'm more curious about if something else would be voted higher of the listener
we picks. Could do I have an idea. We could do like a preliminary round Twitter poll. We could take the four we could take four of the ones suggested by our listeners, put those into a poll for one day, and whichever one wins that poll gets to compete against ours.
I love this idea. I should also mention the fact that I skipped one. Obviously, we'll get so much grief if I don't mention it, which is The Expanse. Which
I was going to ask, did The Expanse faceplant or something? Because it's not on this list.
Yeah. One of the emails that we got about The Expanse ends thusly. Okay, look, I only wrote this email because I'll take any excuse to ask you to do an off-season tour episode on The Expanse, even though I know you probably never will. And then it says, love your butts anyway, Adam from St. Paul.
People have been after us for an Expanse episode, because apparently it's...
For like 2 years, I think.
Since it's been around.
That's going to be our last episode.
I think we should put The Expanse in there. I think it should be The Expanse... Killing Eve, Lost in Space. Oh God, our choices are so weird. People want, you know, people want to vote on like Atlanta.
We should do the preliminary round thing. Okay. I'm telling you.
All right, so preliminary round would be Atlanta, The Americans, Cobra Kai, The Expanse, and then The Magicians doesn't get in there.
Well, we could do Atlanta, The Americans, Cobra Kai, The Expanse, and then we could do DuckTales, Killing Eve, Lost in Space, and The Magicians.
That seems like two.
The World Cup gets disqualified for being sports.
Yes.
Anyway, there will be multiple. We didn't plan this out very well. I got too greedy putting in a bunch of like alternate options.
And the alternate options seem like they're really good. We didn't watch as widely as we should have, apparently. Or maybe we did, and it's just fucking peak TV is like taking a shotgun blast to the face, and only some of the buckshot stays in the teeth. Right? Orange is in the air. Good.
Right. Sure.
get the juice anyway.
Good. All right. So we may have not figured anything out, but we did figure out we're going to have two polls with some crazy answers. I have a feeling that we're going to get maybe more votes in the listener polls. I think our listeners might have outdone us in the nomination, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll figure out the polls.
All right. Let's move on. To best movie of 2018. Neil, I would like you to kick this one off.
Oh, man. The tough part is I do have two things written down here. And now I have to make a decision.
Before the show started, you're like, no, I'm just down to one thing now. But apparently that was a deception.
Needed to scroll down in the notes there. All right, so I had A Quiet Place and Won't You Be My Neighbor written down. I'm going to go with Won't You Be My Neighbor. It's a documentary about Mr. Rogers because I think it's a... going to use this phrase. It's an important film for people to see in today's world. But it's also it's really heartwarming. It's very sad. It's very sort of honest and raw about who Mr. Rogers was, who Fred Rogers was. And it's incredibly sweet. And I think it has as much to do about much to do with like human kindness and being kind to people, with believing that there is a role for public television and shows, educational, earnest shows for children. The documentary does a really good job of talking about how the media that children consume has evolved since Mr. Rogers was on the air, and how he was a very revolutionary person. He had some pretty wild ideas for his time, especially politically, which I think is also very important in this, you know, this era that we live in, where it's very hard to separate politics and entertainment, and to see how even Mr. Rogers got tangled up with it in, you know, the 80s and 90s, I think is really fascinating. So Won't You Be My Neighbor? It, I believe, is still in theaters presently in a small release, but it's so far the movie that lives in my heart from 2018. I think maybe A Quiet Place is the movie I respect the most this year, because it really is really well done for being from, you know, Jim from The Office. So.
Bonus points for being surprised.
I'm sorry, did you just say you saw it? Did you see it with us at South By?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then you got the experience of, like, a friend of the pod, Chrissy Pushko, like, gasping and shrieking behind us.
It was true 4D. It was awesome.
That sounds like maybe if I had seen that screening, that A Quiet Place would be my best movie of 2018 so far.
Yeah, it just, like, in that moment, it was such a sublime, surprisingly awesome, and, you know, I don't like horror films either, so it was just such a refreshing experience all around.
Well, on the back of that horror film, I'm going to jump in with my horror film, which is I really thought this was going to be Black Panther until I sat down and thought about having to, you know, make my case in a great debate setting, and I'm like, the only thing that really holds up that I've seen this year holds up on like a construction level and an execution level is fucking Hereditary, which is like a clockwork movie. And like the concept of it that, you know, I'm sorry, first time director Ari Aster wanted to make like a family drama, but realized that no one saw fucking family drama. So instead he made it a horror movie. That is a family drama that's like disguised as a horror movie. And A24 allowed him this sort of full storyboard production design process to really pull off the themes of what it means to have a character that's making miniatures and whatnot. And the whole thing builds on the back of Toni Collette's amazing performance to an absolutely crazy like final 12 minutes that make you rethink the entire movie and sort of like lock it into your brain. But just the way that not only does I think the story provides just enough to allow you to spend some time after the movie letting it all sink in, then you sort of figure it out. And I think there's enough in the movie that you could figure it out and not feel like there are any hanging threads about what you actually witnessed. But as it's actually going on, the production design and cinematography is all working alongside the performances to sort of twist up the tension without relying on like really loud jump scares or anything that relies on sound to provide a not real fake shock. I think everything in this movie, I know everything in this movie is as terrifying the second time as it is the first time. So it's just a really well-made film, and it's very rare to see a debut be that assured. And it's the best movie of 2018 for me.
Man, every time I hear someone talk about Hereditary, they make a lot of great points, and it sounds like a great movie that I'm going to be forced to watch, and I'm not going to enjoy the experience, but I will appreciate it. It's a great movie.
I know. I get whiny every time like I think about it. I'm like, I'm going to have to watch Hereditary. It's like,
damn it. I am going to have to watch that movie eventually.
Welcome to the world where once every year, A24 release something completely terrifying that you have to watch even if you're not a horror movie person. It's just...
I don't like that
word. It's going to be happening. It's great. Great content.
Yes. Okay. So that's one vote for Hereditary and one vote for A Quiet Place.
Won't You Be My Neighbor?
Okay. Won't You Be My Neighbor is Neil's.
Yeah. Won't You Be My Neighbor is my actual pick. I just wanted to.
Okay. I'm going to leave a major pick to the listeners and instead pick Blockers. We're gonna get a lot of crap for not any of us picking Black Panther, by the way. But we'll put that in the listener category. But because I remember, like, on the Patreon Slack, like, our listeners were like, good luck anything trying to beat Black Panther. And I'm like, none of us.
And we're like, good luck not even voting for it because it's not on the poll.
Anyway, I'm picking Blockers, which is a comedy that you might have missed in theaters, but you can catch on streaming and Blu-ray and DVD and whatever. This was, like, you know, Neil talked about sort of the in-the-room feeling of watching A Quiet Place at South By. This premiere at South By was, like, one of the best experiences I've ever had in a theater. But then I watched it again later without, like, a million people laughing around me, and it was still amazing. I really love this film, and I just want to stump for it because I feel like it was really overlooked. It probably won't wind up being my top film of the year because we're going to get into, like, you know, my shit usually comes at the end of the year when I'm like, ooh, it's Moonlight, Lady Bird time. But, you know.
Christopher Robin doesn't open for a few weeks, Joanna.
I'm feeling Christopher Robin. Christopher Robin is a ripoff of Paddington. I'm not here for it. Anyway, so, Blockers has my vote. It's a really, really good progressive comedy that was horribly marketed. And you might think it's one thing, but it's not that. It's something else entirely. And you should really check it out. We do have some honorable mentions here from me, which are Black Panther, obviously, Annihilation. Mm-hmm. Which is, like, kind of much more on brand in my shit. First Reformed, which is a great, great Ethan Hawke, Paul Schrader film. And Sorry to Bother You, which is an Oakland set, Boots Riley, gonzo, comedy, social commentary. I mean, that's an amazing film. Sorry to Bother You is amazing. Starring Lakeith Stanfield and Tessa Thompson. So, and a bunch of other people. It's great, great, great. Steven Yeun. My best, my favorite, the greatest. I know it makes it sound like I like Sorry to Bother You more than I like Blockers, but I want you guys to see all these movies, basically. So Sorry to Bother You is out in theaters now, so you can go try to find it. Is this where I read a listener?
I don't know. I don't know how many polls we're going to have, but we'll find out at least what we thought the listener pick was going to be.
We had multiple people write about this one, so I think it should be this one. I'm going to try to read the one from Ryan. It's kind of long, but Ryan Silverstein, who's friend of the pod, Con of Thrones attendee, patron, superstar, Ryan Silverstein.
Just all around nice guy.
Great guy. Writes in, he says, first, I need to brag a little. The first Paddington, that's a little hint for you guys there. The first Paddington made my top 10 of the year back in 2015, beating out about 50 other films to land the ninth spot between Avengers Age of Ultron, sorry, Joanna, and the hilarious comedy The Martian. So I was already on board for the sequel. I'm here to tell you that Paddington 2 not only surpasses the joy of the very first film, but underlines the core message of these stories about a clumsy, marmalade-obsessed Peruvian bear in a way so important to the times we live in. And that message is, if you're kind and polite, the world will be right. But the message should not be dismissed for being obvious or simplistic. What could be more important than treating other people with niceness and respect? Nothing. This film feels like a point of reaction, not to Brexit or Trump, since it was likely well into production before either of those two events occurred, but to the national moods that spawned them. It is important to his character that Paddington is an immigrant taken in by a posh British family, which is an homage to the children who were forced to evacuate London during the Second World War. See? Paddington has always been political, like all art. Message alone, however, does not make a film great. In this film, Paddington is trying to find a present for his Aunt Lucy, now a resident at the home for retired bears back in darkest Peru, suitable for her 100th birthday. And then he talks about the plot, which is great, and Hugh Grant's great, and blah, blah, blah. It's a very long email, and I love you so much, Ryan, but I'm going to skip to the end, where he says, Paddington 2 goes above and beyond simple escapism to be a film that provides moral guidance for children and adults, a stark reminder of the importance of compassion, as well as an active light against the darkness of our times. It is a feel-good movie because it doesn't ignore the issues we face in our daily lives, reminds us the best way to overcome them is kindness. It's not by accident that Paddington's closest friends outside his families are fellow immigrants, the elderly, prisoners, and strays, the outcasts. Paddington looks for the good in all of us, and somehow he finds it, says Hugh Bonneville's Mr. Brown. What could be more important right now than finding the good in ourselves and each other? So that's the case for Paddington.
So we got, which is a great Paddington movie. 2, which will restore your faith in humanity. Won't You Be My Neighbor, yeah, which will restore your faith in humanity. Blockers, which is a real fun time. And Hereditary, which will be the dark storm cloud that you all could take refuge in when you realize that life is pain and we're all doomed by our parents.
Wow. Brand strong, Dave. Brand strong.
Yeah.
Abolish nice.
Abolish nice.
Yeah, I say we do a couple polls on this one because I do want people to be able to vote on Black Panther. And I know a lot of our listeners loved Annihilation, so which is a great, 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 great film. So
let's say, yeah, we'll do two polls, yeah. Annihilation, Black Panther, Paddington 2, Sorry to Bother You, and...
Or A Quiet Place, yeah.
Hereditary, Blockers, A Quiet Place, and Won't You Be My Neighbor?
Great. Great choices. Great options, guys.
I hope somebody's writing that
down. I will. We'll bold some stuff, and we'll figure it out. It will be fantastic. And then next...
But I hope we've...
No. I was just going to say next week we'll get back at you with what actually happened.
Yeah, but I just want to say that, like, I know it can be overwhelming. There's so much to watch. And sometimes when I get overwhelmed by so much to watch, I just, like, retreat to watching Frasier reruns or whatever. I'm like, just something familiar. Oh, my God. But I hope you take, like, some of these recommendations to heart. I think that there's some amazing... like underwatch stuff on this list that makes me really happy. I don't think it's all like the super, super obvious stuff. And watch the underwatch stuff and then like spread the word. It's a nice cozy feeling. And Paddington 2 is better than Pooh Bear. So
yeah, we don't know that yet. It could be Paddington meets Hook. That's what I want. I am not happy though that they're changing him from the first trailer to the third trailer to look like nicer. Like I wanted him to look like the seven color correction. That was part of the charm. What do you think Joanna was, Joanna and Neil actually, what was your thing you hoped really panned out for television, but just didn't pan out? Like you got your hooks in you for some reason, but you got like an episode in or a part of an episode in was like, oh, I don't know about this. Or in my case, I'm sorry, I'm just going to go ahead and give an example. The entire second season of Luke Cage and being like, oh God, maybe I just can't do all the Marvel anymore. Maybe that it was, and it's not that it was bad. It was just like, why in a world where I didn't watch The Americans, why?
Yeah, well, Dave was talking about all of Luke Cage, and he was talking about like how Danny Rand was kind of okay for this season. So I was like, I don't remember where you said this, Dave, but you're like, you could even just like watch that episode or whatever. So I tried to watch that episode, and I was like, I hate this, so I stopped. And I did similar with Jessica Jones. I think with Jessica Jones, I watched like the first two episodes and then like the last two episodes. Like at this point, I'm just kind of like trying to keep tabs on these Marvel Netflix shows in order to like be fluent in them. But I have lost so much faith in what they're doing right there.
At least with Marvel, because Kimmy Schmidt, like you had sort of alluded to, was okay, even though it was...
Oh, yeah. No. I haven't lost faith in Netflix. I've just lost faith in... Yeah. No, Netflix has got some great stuff on order. I will say to you, I will confess to you in these darkest times that I have not been able to bring myself to watch the season finale of Legion because I heard what it was about.
Oh my
and
God,
I was
you
like,
just stole mine.
And I was just like, I just don't want to. So, Legion, I guess. Yeah. Neil?
I haven't watched the end of Legion either. It's funny, I feel like there was another one recently that I started and I now cannot remember, so I'm sticking with Legion, I guess. That really is the one this season that I gave up on. I didn't give up on Westworld, and I thought I was going to.
I also think I made it like maybe 10 minutes into Preacher before I was like, I'll come back to this. And now it's like, what, 3 weeks later? I have not come back. I think I might be done with Preacher.
That's what happened to me in season two of Preacher.
No, season two wasn't.
Man, I haven't watched Preacher in a long time. Guys, are we bad at watching TV?
No, I watched
too much TV.
Too much TV, yeah.
Oh my God. Preacher is a great show. I haven't watched in two seasons.
I'm just sad that somewhere out there, Ruth Negga is doing things that I'm not seeing. And that's probably the only reason I might still pick it back up. We'll see.
That's how I feel about Joe.
Okay, good. So, Preacher, maybe you'll hook us back just by prestige, but who knows?
Preacher, attractive people we like are in that show.
Doing things we don't always understand, but it's the summer. Cool. Neil, what are we up to next week?
Yes. So next week, we're going to watch a bunch of shows that we haven't finished or caught up on. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to watch a bunch of The Rock's movies to determine if The Rock is a friend or a foe. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. That The Rock, not the Michael Bay film. This is stemming from a recent episode of
Fighting in the War Room. If it's called Is the Rock the Enemy? It's episode 209 of Fighting in the War Room. Don't worry, we'll snip a little bit out of it in next week's episode to give you some context.
Yeah, don't worry, we're gonna solve that one next week.
Yeah. The idea basically being that The Rock, who is in Skyscraper, which we will peg this episode to, is a international movie star who has the capability to control the conversation around his own movies. Is that too much power for someone like The Rock to have, given he has a vested business and PR interest into making you like him, despite, I don't know, maybe valid criticisms, maybe not valid criticisms? We'll find out by revisiting some of The Rock's good movies. Tooth Fairy, probably not. But, you know, maybe someone's going to bring it up. Right? We'll see. Walk Tall, Walking Tall, isn't that The Rock? Like old school The Rock? We still called him The Rock before we even knew it was a Dwayne Johnson.
I wasn't listening to you for a second. Did you mention my favorite Rock movie, The Rundown?
No, I did not mention The Rundown.
We're talking about The Rundown.
Nice.
That Sean William Scott joint, The Rundown.
So that will be The Rock, friend or foe, next week. Just watch some Rock things. Be conversant in Rock. I'm going to catch up with Tumanji, which I skipped.
Yeah, Tumanji.
But is now available.
It's a fun find time.
Okay, good. But otherwise, you know, I got my Fasts and Furious and my various Rock things. And then, of course, my favorite where he's name dropped during an episode of Aaron Sorkin's The Newsroom, where they figure out about Osama bin Laden being dead. There's a lot of things to talk about with The Rock, both real and fictional. Join us, won't you?
Yeah.
Can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
Did you just say, join us, won't you? In your best Karina voice?
Maybe that just happens automatically. Well, pre-order Karina's book, too. Happy birthday, Karina.
Yeah.
Karina Longworth. Great podcast about old Hollywood. All right. Until next week, where can people find more of our work around the internet? Let's start with Joanna Robinson.
You can find me on vanityfair.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Joe Wrote This. If you are interested in sharp objects, I am doing a podcast called Still Watching Sharp Objects. Still Watching Sharp Objects, which you can find on the Vanity Fair Still Watching feed.
And Mr. Neil Miller.
Yes, you can get me over at the filmschoolrejects.com website. You can also follow me on Twitter, I guess, at rejects. Although, I don't know, not worth it at the moment. But if you'd like to get all of my best stuff, don't forget to sign up for our Patreon and become part of our Patreon Slack. So it's just patreon.com/stormofspoilers. Get in the Slack. That's where I put all my best material. The worst stuff is going to Twitter at the moment, so just ignore that. And, don't forget to follow the show, at Storm of Spoilers. And, There's something else that I usually say here, but I can't remember. Anyway, I'm done.
And I'm Dave Gonzalez. You can find me on Twitter at DA7E. You can find my work at Polygon.com, at Thrillist.com. You can find me on the Fighting at the War Room podcast. Although this week my audio's weird because I was in my co-host Matt Patches' basement and we were just yelling at his MacBook Air. Super fun, though. And you could, yeah, join the Patreon, where I write about burgers every week, just for you. Join the Patreon at every level, any level. Join the Patreon at every level. Yes, every level.
Just the one.
Join the Patreon at any level, and you can get my burger reports. They've been fun for me to contemplate food and things. But for all of you, sweet listeners, don't fall down.
A big noise playing in the street. Gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place. Singing, we will rock you. We will.